Today again, it will be 5 questions in 25 minutes. And that means intense reflections, active engagement, and hopefully deep revelations about rhythm, the one thing that connects us all. My guest today originally comes from Aruba, but he lives in the Netherlands. He's a highly regarded percussionist and drum teacher. And he really knows how a tombao should be played, how you make a great rapiniki call. And beside of that, he's also composing great music. Welcome, Michael de Miranda.
Welcome to The Power of Rhythm, a podcast with your host, Reinhard Flatischler, around the one thing that connects us all. Rhythm.
Thank you for this great introduction. I'm honored to be here on your show and well.
So let's get right to it. First question, what was your first direct experience of rhythm?
Oh, my first, well, that's a long time ago.
Yes.
I think I was a child, and actually when I grew up, I think my father brought me in contact with rhythm. My mm-hmm. father is from Suriname. He's actually a musician, a classical guitarist, but besides classical music, he never forgot his roots. So he's from Suriname, from South America, and he played also music from Brazil, and he moved to Aruba and listened to the radio from Cuba. So when I grew up, we listened to that music too. Uh-huh. And this is actually, as a child, I cannot remember it exactly because we heard it every day. It was normal for us. And at that time, I thought it was normal for every family that they would listen to the same music. For later, I found out that it wasn't so like this.
Now, you grew up in the Netherlands, right? But you were surrounded, you know, by mostly Latin American rhythms. That's right?
Yes.
Okay, so I know that you studied in Africa, in Cuba, and in Brazil. And to play traditional rhythms really great, that is a nice task. And of course, it honors the tradition. But what's about creating rhythms? What's about improvisation? What's your take on that?
Okay, I studied a lot of music and I traveled to all those countries to see how they played it. And for me, it's important to know the traditions. But I'm also aware that I'm from the Netherlands. I am not a Cuban percussionist. I'm not from Brazil. I'm not from Africa. So that means that I use rhythms that are played on sabar or bukarabu or congas, or I use the traditions and I try to create my own rhythms. So I like to make combinations from traditions from Brazil and Cuban to play Brazilian music on Cuban instruments or the other way around. But with respect, and that's why I think the traditions are for me very important, so I can explain why I took this rhythm and combined it with something from another culture and why I think it's a great combination and why it has the same flow. And that's for me important.
I think in this you're very, very successful. I have a proof here. I want to actually play one song from your album Fora de Hora. It's Eu Vou, Eu Vou. Where did you record it? In Brazil, I guess. And who is the voice?
Well, no, I recorded it in the Netherlands with, all Dutch musicians. In the Netherlands, the level of music making is very high. We have very good percussion players and very good. The singer actually is from Brazil.
Yes.
Lilian Vieira.
Very clear to hear.
Yeah, she played in a famous group, Zuko 101. I don't know the number, but Zuko, and I like to work with her.
So see something. Actually, let's listen to that. Eu vou, eu vou.
Eu vou de Varigue pra Goiânia, como se cavalgando em nuvens pudesse mapear recantos de flamboyantes e de lá enveredar caminhos de Goiás, pelas bandas do Rio Vermelho, pelos doces poemas de Cora, assentando palmos e passos nas congadas, na fé dos romeiros, cavando trindades, burites alegres, chão goiano de pequis, onde as canções de eles enebriam as noites de luar de nossa terra. Eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou. Varigue pra Goiânia, como se cavalgando em nuvens pudesse mapear recantos de flamboyantes e de lá enveredar caminhos de Goiás, pelas bandas do Rio Vermelho, pelos doces poemas de Cora, assentando palmos e passos nas congadas, nas pedras joleiros, travando trindades, burites alegres, xangaiano de Pequins, onde as canções de eles enebriam as noites de luar de nossa terra. Eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou, céus num tropel de cavalos voadores, buscando saudades esquecidas no chão central do meu Brasil, do meu Brasil, do meu Brasil. Eu vou, voando eu vou, voando eu vou, eu vou.
Eu vou. That is from the album Fora de Hora from Michael de Miranda that we have today as a guest here. And you see, when we are listening to music, we have this joy that attracts us to it, that is groove. You know, we are coming into groove. Now, my question is, if you were to explain or kind of offer to someone who is not in music at all what this person is missing, describe how is it to be in groove to this person.
Well, that's difficult. Very often I gave workshops for companies, and very often there are people that when I get to take the drums out, they come to me and they say, I don't have any feeling for rhythm, I have never done something, blah 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 blah. And they are always afraid. And then after just 1 hour, they are completely in the groove and they are enjoying and having this positive energy. But most of the time, what I try to explain is that rhythm is everywhere. Everybody has rhythm. You have your heart. It's the rhythm of your heart is a bass, is actually a kind of basic groove. Unless you are doing sports, it's going up tempo. Yeah. But when I would try to inspire somebody, I would talk about the feeling of energy that is released.
There is a person who does not know how orgasm feels. You know, you can explain, oh, then you do this, and then finally that comes, but no one will know what it is. You say, oh, everything dissolves into timelessness, or, you know, just try to do that. What is groove for you? Describe groove very shortly, please.
Groove for me is life. Okay. Groove is everywhere. Groove is breathing. Groove is the waves pounding on the beach, each time, every time, repeating. And it's actually a basic part of life.
Yes. And here comes the $1,000 question, or $1 million question, which is, how does groove feel like? What's the feeling?
Well, the feeling, well, it's, I think it's difficult to describe, but it is like melting together with in a warm bath.
Or, okay.
It's warm, it's intense, and it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Rhythm, and still I think it's difficult to put in words.
No, you did it. Thank you, Michael, for going with me, because, you know, it's really like you said it, it's like a warm bath. Everyone can kind of relate to that, and this is your personal experience, because we're together to get to know what you have to say, you know, that's why we're here.
Yes.
And so here comes the next question. 5 minutes before you go on stage, before you start a recording, or before you start a workshop, guide us into this landscape. Are you nervous? Are you calm? Do you meditate? Do you, what do you do?
Actually, I relax most of the time, and most of the time I'm already preparing in my head what the next thing is coming. If it's a performance or a workshop, it doesn't matter. And actually, just in the minutes before I go onto stage, or then most of the time it sounds strange, but I'm always rubbing my hands. And people always think, oh, Michael, are you cold? Or is no, it's for me building up attention. And I can do this in seconds. So when I start doing this, then there's adrenaline is coming to what I have to do. And this is actually in 10 minutes before I'm relaxed and just preparing. And then just before I go onto the stage, I give myself energy just by rubbing my hand. And then I'm there in the moment.
Great. So here to our listeners, you know, many of them also might be musicians, and there are many different ways to prepare yourself. Yeah. Try it out, you know, getting the energy going, and, you know, get ready for the intensity of what's coming up. It's
yeah,
great.
Building up a kind of tension, and that all my muscles and my complete body is then prepared for the thing I'm going to do.
Now, you have really built up a very huge online learning platform. You can almost find everything from the Tumbao or the Happy Nikki Call to how a summer should be played. When did you start this project? I mean, online, now everyone is online in Corona now, you know, but you must have started very early. So how did you start? What made you go there? Because that's important for many people now. They say, yeah. Well, what do I do?
I started in 2010. So more than 10 years ago, I started. And actually, it was not my goal to give lessons, but I wanted to learn a software program, how to edit videos. And I was working with green screen. I thought, this is nice. I want to know how it works. So then I thought, when you want to learn something, you have to do this as much as possible. And then I thought, well, what is something that is easy for me? And for me, it is easy to teach. And at that moment, there were not that many lessons or good quality percussion lessons on YouTube. There were good percussionists already, but very often the audio quality was not good, or the video, it was not. So then I thought, well, let's start explaining a rhythm with green screen, and then I can make my own background, and explaining for me is easy. So I started, and my first videos, they have strange backgrounds, and I make do funny things. So I thought, I start with a rhythm that is not that well known, not that popular. So I started with a rhythm called Makuta, Toque de Makuta. It's from Cuba, but from Cuba, most of the time it's about rumba, about cha-cha-cha, but Makuta, nobody knows. So I thought, let's do something that nobody will look at. But I posted it, and immediately I got reactions from the United States from this. And do you know this? And then after five lessons, I stopped with the green screen thing. And then I thought, okay, because it's a lot of work. And then I started to answer the questions that I got, and started to produce more lessons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the way I started.
Great. And for that, you obviously went to Cuba, Africa, Brazil. I've been in Cuba, actually, in the carnival in 76.
Okay.
That was completely closed, and it was only a music group from San Francisco that I played in. It could go in at this time, you know. So when have you been in Cuba? What did you see in Cuba? Whom did you visit, you know? Matanzas, or where have you been?
Well, the first time I went, I went to Havana, and I studied with a teacher that in the 80s came to the Netherlands to teach at the conservatory. And so I visited him, and I wanted to know more about the folkloric part of Cuba. But I also went to Matanzas because the room, I love the rhythms from Matanzas. And I studied with Roberta Vizcaino. He's a great percussionist, and he played modern percussion, and everything together, playing timbales here with his right hand, left hand congas, and a little bit this, and blah, blah, blah. And I was completely...
Just for our listeners, you know, Matanzas is really the capital of rumba, you know, if the Muniquitos, the Matanzas, and all of that. Yeah. But of course, and Santiago de Cuba is very big in the carnival because it's the old carnival, right?
Yeah.
So you have been learning in Africa, Cuba, and Brazil. Yes. Tell us the commonalities, or what do they have in common, and what is there a difference? Like, also from your learning experience, how was your learning experience in these three locations?
Yeah, well, the thing that is in common is that the rhythms are built up in all kind of small parts. You know, the bell is playing this small part, one drum, a sabar is playing this small part, then a bass drum is this, and all those parts, they come together, and it's when they are put together in the right way, it's like a wheel which is turning and it's going, then you have the right flow. And this is in Brazil, this is in Cuba, this is in Africa. It's everywhere the same. The small parts that fit together. And another thing which they have in common is how the beat is subdivided, the timing of rhythms. So it's not like house music that every small notes have the same length, the same, but the flow, the staccata, 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 it's in samba, it is in rumba, it's in Africa, in rhythms. So this is also something. But differences are that, for instance, the difference between Africa and Latin American is that how the European instruments are used. For instance, the piano. Let's take the piano. When the Africans in Cuba, when they could play on the piano, they played it like a rhythm instrument. So they and the way they play the chords, they break down the chords and they make it like a timbales rhythm, and that's different than in Africa. You don't see this. they don't do this. This is the way the piano or guitar is used in Brazil. They play also rhythms like on the small tambourine, the tam tam tagan kenking. This is not the way they play in Africa. So it's not only new instruments that came there by the Europeans, but it's also that new instruments were developed. The Africans that went to Latin America, they couldn't bring their instruments. Of course, you will see now djembes in Brazil, and of course. But at that time, they had to create their own instruments. So, for instance, congas is an instrument from Cuba. It's not from Africa. And it's developed from instruments that were brought by the people from Congo and Angola. And they had similar instruments, but they couldn't bring. So they created their own instruments. A clave is not from Africa. They don't actually know how, but the one thing they say is that the ships that where the ropes were connected with wooden pins, and they put the ropes. And these wooden pins, this is how in Havana, in the harbor, and in Matanzas, they created these instruments.
And it's the same with a berimbau. You know, there's a lot of bows, like music bows in Africa, but the berimbau just is from Salvador Bahia in its form.
Yeah,
but exactly. Thank you. This is a very, very clear and comprehensive, you know, description of this. Learning and methods where you have been. Now, last question, Michael. If you had unlimited resources, or almost unlimited resources, and you could do your favorite project once everything opens up again, what would this be?
I think it would be bringing musicians together and offer them a place and the possibilities to create music, new music, or to experiment. I like it when musicians come together and they experiment, and not everything will be a success, but giving this platform where they can meet and exchange knowledge and music, I think it would be something like this, and not to make something commercial, but to see what happens when people meet each other and they know their instruments, their history, their hub, and they bring it, but they are drawn a little bit out of their comfort zone, and then something new will be created. I think something like this would be the thing that I would create.
Michael, that sounds really wonderful, and we are actually praying that you and the universe will kind of come together and it will provide this founding for you. Yeah, it's great. People can come together and, you know, encounter through rhythm. Yeah. Michael, thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for your knowledge. Now let our listeners know where they can find you on the net, please.
You can find me on YouTube, just my name, or on Patreon, or on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram, but just when you fill out my name, you will find me. And I want to thank you for the invitation, and I'm honored to be here in your show.
It's absolutely a big pleasure. And to our listeners, please check Michael out. He has a lot of great stuff. Whenever you are, you know, playing a drum and you don't know how to do this correctly, look it up. It's a lot of really hands-on advice, hands-on knowledge. With that, if you like our podcast, please go to powerofrhythm.com/podcast, leave a comment, tell me whom you want to hear next. And for now, have a great day and keep on grooving.